Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A great multitude of people had begun to follow Jesus. And like a parade, this growing group of his adoring fans followed Jesus from town to town, hoping to hear him preach again or to perform another miracle. However, this was not your typical parade. There were no marching bands and no cheerleaders, no floats, no shining costumes. In fact, most of those who followed Jesus in this parade had absolutely nothing. They were the bottom tier of society. They were the poor, the blind, the deaf, and the lame. Most of them were beggars. None of them seemed important. They had all been humbled or hurt by life in some way. And so, apart from their newfound devotion to Jesus, there was no outward or obvious reason that you or I would have wanted to join this group of outcasts on the very fringes of society. But Jesus, seeing their heartaches, their troubles, their pains, and their diseases, had compassion. With a word, he healed the sick. By his word, he gave them back hope. Because of this Jesus, the blind could see, the deaf could hear, the lame could walk, and the poor had the good news preached to them. Just as Isaiah had prophesied, this Jesus was God with us. Most who followed him had already witnessed Jesus preach and perform miracles. But if there was anyone who still was in need of God's mercy, they were pressed to the front of this parade line in search of Jesus' mercy. And after he showed mercy in one town, he would then move on to the next. And so would all of those who he had previously helped or healed in any way. And this group marched in joyous procession behind him. And if you just could have listened to the joyful sounds that were coming from this parade of people, well, you would have known that something very, very special was happening. For whether those who followed Jesus back then fully realized it or not, the reign of God had come among them. For the Lord of life, who reigns even over death, was the one leading this parade. Now, the phrase "the reign of God" is sometimes misunderstood. We no longer have kings, but when we think about kings, we usually think about them reigning from palaces, living affluent lives. We think of them reigning over their people by laws and decrees and by the strength of their armies. But Jesus would reign as a different kind of king, different than the world had ever seen. His reign is a reign of compassion as he came to this earth to serve his people. And he reigns in unique ways. As when he said to the centurion, "Your servant is healed." Or by saying to a thunderstorm when caught on the lake, the Sea of Galilee, simply, "Stop." Or by saying to a demon, "Get out of him." or by saying to another person who had lost a young child, "Little girl, arise," and by his own death and resurrection. So in addition to this being a parade, think of it as a royal parade of servants following their Lord as his subjects, as he gives gifts to them, gifts of forgiveness and of life and of salvation. As the God-man, Jesus Christ, leads this parade, and he demonstrates his power, power to restore spiritual life and physical health to his people. However, in our gospel lesson today, this parade was not the only parade in town. No, this parade would cross paths with a completely different type of parade, a parade that is probably much more familiar to us, a parade of death, a funeral procession. There, marching through the streets of Nain, there were several men standing in tight formation and carrying a casket. And nearby, there were mourners swaying in agony, trying to console one another. And all around, one could hear their gut-wrenching sobs and their cries of anguish as a somber roll of downcast faces marched sadly to the graveside. Among funerals, this one was particularly sad, for by losing her only son, this widow was really losing everything. You see, in ancient times, a woman often had no way of providing for herself apart from the men in her life. If her husband had died, and if she had no sons or daughter-in-law or son-in-laws, she might very well be reduced to begging. It's hard in our day to understand just how dire this widow's situation really was. But it would be the equivalent to a person in our modern times losing her family, her income, her retirement, her social security, her health insurance, her home, her social network, and everything else, all in the same day. Yes, death has a way of changing things. Yesterday there was hope. For this woman today there was none. Yesterday there was life. Today there was none. This widow had just lost her only son and is now truly destitute. And so by ancient thinking, this might as well have been her own funeral. For in a very real sense, it felt like her life was over. So visualize this. You see a funeral procession, a parade of death, trudging slowly and somberly out of the city of Nain, behind a casket, and a hopeless widow sobbing uncontrollably. But at the very same time, you have this Jesus leading a joyous parade of life into the very same city. There were those moving in the direction of death towards a cemetery, with no hope of life. And there were those following Jesus who restores life and brings hope to those who were once dead. And so, what happens in our gospel reading when this parade of life encounters this parade of death? Simply put, the Lord of life reigns over death. The Lord reigns on death's parade. When our Lord Jesus sees the widow, there are no words spoken between them. There is no request. He simply has compassion and he steps into action. He simply says to the woman, "Do not weep." And then, halting the parade of death, the king of creation makes this decree: "Young man, I say to you, arise." Which alone is pretty spectacular. But here's the thing: the dead man obeyed him. It's as if Jesus had said, "Death, you will have no place in my kingdom, for my kingdom is a kingdom of life. Be gone." And consequently, death and this parade of death is disbanded. And shocked by this, by what they had just seen, those who were previously moving in the direction of death now join this parade of life, and they exclaim, "God has visited his people." For they understood what was happening, that no one less than the Lord of life could end death's reign and his parade. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you are part of this parade of life too. Every Sunday, after you receive the forgiveness of sins, after you hear the absolution in Christ, after you hear the message of forgiveness in the gospel, you cry out your confession that Jesus is your Lord by saying, "Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy." You see, the Kyrie that we say is not just another request for absolution, but it is a beautiful and joyous confession of just who Jesus is. He is both our God and Lord. He is King. We are his ragtag bunch. But like his first disciples, we are all beggars before God, not too impressive by worldly standards. And yet, because of Jesus, our future is not death. Our future is a parade, a joyous parade of life. And so this miracle performed for the widow at Nain gives us a window through which we can see what we are going to experience on the last day. As believers, we confess in the creed that we are looking for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. We are looking forward to that day when our King Jesus will reign over us in his kingdom. We are looking forward to that day when we will finally see what we have always believed as his followers. Christ has reigned on death's parade so that death's reign over us has ended. For those who hope in Christ, we are going to receive the same compassion that Jesus showed to this widow who had lost her only son. The Lord is going to restore you to life after you die. Christ is going to return and renew the heavens and the earth and resurrect your bodies in a new and glorious way so that we will have a physical existence in this world, as we do right now, only much, much better. Far too long, as sons of Adam, we have been on a death march, every minute moving closer and closer to the grave. We live in a broken world, a world filled with death and injustice. And yet, as sons of God in Christ, we know that we are part of his parade of life. Also moving closer and closer to the day when Jesus will resurrect our bodies and return life and restore laughter to us eternally. But in this life and for now, we are often like that widow at Nain. Sometimes we feel hopeless. We often feel desperate. Sometimes we even feel like God is not reigning over our lives. But it is precisely when things look the darkest that our God and Savior breaks through this hopeless situation and gives us life. Martin Luther said it best. He said, "When our strength is at an end, Christ's strength is just beginning. When the situation is hopeless and all of our plans and efforts are in vain, then be courageous and beware of giving up. For God calls all things from the dead and from nothing. And just at that moment when we feel like no resource or help at all is left for us, my friends in Christ, that is when God's help truly begins. For his reign and his rule over us is love. Amen." And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.